Welcome to this week's podcast of Glimmers in the Fog. Our topic today is part two of learning to hear and confirm God's voice. Last week's message highlighted the four ways we need to prepare our hearts to hear Him and eight of the most common methods He uses to communicate. To get the most out of this episode, I would suggest listening to part one first. Today we're going to drill down into six key hallmarks of God's voice. These consistent characteristics of His nature are based on how God has spoken throughout the ages in the Bible and offers critical insights into exactly what His voice sounds like, and equally important, what it doesn't sound like. There's nothing Satan wants more than to deceive you into believing that your own voice or that of a counterfeit voice is straight from God. We must always remember the warning from 2 Corinthians 11:14, which tells us that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. This means that even the most coincidental and beneficial set of circumstances or best-sounding advice may not be in line with the true voice of God speaking into your heart. But when you understand how God typically speaks and how to confirm whether it's Him or not, with time and practice, your spiritual ears will get better and better at hearing Him clearly in both the big things and the little things of life. So if you're ready for the adventure and sweetness of hearing Him whisper to your soul, join me now as we explore the six hallmarks of His voice. Have you ever misinterpreted an email from a friend or a coworker? It's such a common occurrence. I bet every single person on earth who uses email has made inaccurate assumptions or has misinterpreted what the sender was trying to say. And then we know what happens next, right? Either we sit and stew on it because we don't want to call or visit the sender in person to clarify the meaning, or we do the most dreaded thing we all know we shouldn't do and we do anyway. We hit the reply button and send back a completely inappropriate response based on what we assume we heard. As we have all painfully experienced, mistakes happen when we assume. And yes, I think the acronym for assume fits, but I won't repeat it here. So this is kind of how listening to God can be. When He speaks to us, it's not like receiving a phone call from your best friend, whose voice you can often recognize just by the way she breathes or the way he clears his throat. With the Almighty's voice, there's no audible tone or style to hear, no inflections to indicate humor or anger. In short, most of us have so little familiarity with what He's saying, either because what He's asking us to do is so surprising or because we're simply new or out of practice with hearing His direction, that after He's spoken, we may spend minutes or hours second-guessing what we've heard. We can make some radically wrong assumptions. We can jump to conclusions. Sometimes we miss out on a blessing because we were too unsure to act when He spoke. As you become more and more familiar with His unique voice in your life, which happens over a long period of time and with frequent practice, you will begin to clearly experience for yourself the signature characteristics or hallmarks of His voice. These hallmarks are helpful in knowing that what God's voice sounds like and understanding His nature. However, even when you think you've heard from God clearly, never skip the step of seeking scriptural confirmation. As we said last week, God's word will never contradict anything He personally lays on your heart. That means the principles and guidance outlined in the Bible must always, without any exceptions ever, agree with or support whatever it is you've heard in order for God to even be considered as the source. Here's an example. If you think God is telling you to go ahead and make a big purchase, but you are currently drowning in debt or struggling to tithe regularly, then the voice you've been hearing is either coming from your own desire or Satan's temptation. Beyond the principles and guidance, Scripture also gives us clear indications of God's character, style, and approach. While these are more subjective than a specific command like tithing, the hallmarks of God's guiding hand will be critical in discerning His voice in less obvious and more nuanced situations. While God is too big and simply unfathomable to pin down as a personality type, there are clear indicators of His voice that can be gleaned throughout Scripture. Just as important, the hallmarks of what is not His voice also materialize out of the preponderance of evidence in Scripture. Whether it's your own voice or Satan's sinister attempt to distract you or misdirect you, knowing what the Bible indicates is not His voice is equally important. Before we get into the six hallmarks, Also keep in mind that secondary confirmation of what he's saying to you can come through the wise counsel of others. But seeking input from spiritually mature friends, a Christian counselor, or your pastor should never carry more weight than or take the place of direct biblical confirmation. If God truly said something to you, then he'll make sure you get confirmation in his word in some manner. It may come through a scriptural suggestion from a friend, in a sermon, or a myriad of other ways. But if you keep your heart open to God's direction and are willing to surrender any of your own wisdom and desires, he will give you a confirmation in his word, repeatedly in your prayer time, and secondarily through others and circumstances. Now on to the six hallmarks. When the many biblical accounts of God speaking are viewed holistically together, certain patterns, tones, and defining characteristics emerge to give us these defining features of what his voice sounds like, as well as what it does not. Number one, God pushes us out of our comfort zone without imparting fear, a sense of foreboding, or worry. Only the wisdom of an omniscient, which means all-knowing God who loves you beyond your wildest dreams and knows you better than you know yourself, could simultaneously ask you to step out of your comfort zone while giving you a shot of unexpected motivation and courage. When God asks you to do something, most of the time it will be something that you would not naturally want to do or think to do. Whether it's a simple command to talk to a stranger or to sell something you value more than you should, when God speaks, it goes right to the heart of the matter and the Holy Spirit gently but insistently pushes you to obey. And once you step out on faith, and not a moment before then, strength, courage, and peace flow. Philippians 4:6-7 makes it clear that when we are communicating with God, he gives us peace even when the task at hand is difficult. Jesus said, "It is his peace to rest upon us always," in John 14:27. He wasn't ambiguous when he said that. If something is from the Holy Spirit, there will be a sense of peace. Number two, he uses repetition to get his message through the noise of life and emphasize his point. It's a universal truth that human beings need to hear something at least 7 times to be able to recall it. 7. Advertisers know this proven fact, and that's why you can recall some of the most annoying commercials on television. So if God is trying to get your attention, you better believe he is sending the message multiple times through various ways. 2 or 3 people might mention the same Bible verse to you. You might then sense his leading in prayer about the same thing, and then again in the sermon you hear on Sunday. When you notice that a Bible verse, message, or theme starts popping up repeatedly in your life, immediately begin to pay very close attention. Journal about it and begin praying over it. In the Bible, Jesus repeated things of great importance multiple times. In the book of John alone, the word believe is repeated more than 100 times, emphasizing the need to place your trust in God before any of what is promised in his word can manifest itself in your life. When Jesus explained the path of eternal life to Nicodemus, he began by repeating the word truly as a way of indicating the supreme importance of paying attention to what he was about to say. John 3:5 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Number three, his direction can always be confirmed, but not through circumstances alone. A message from God will always line up with Scripture. If it doesn't fit with the Bible, then dismiss it immediately, no questions asked. Don't even entertain the thought or search for a different verse or interpretation to justify what you think you've heard. Secondary confirmation can also come through wise counsel, Proverbs 11:14 and 12:15. Especially if it has to do with a decision that may not be a question of right or wrong, but more of a case of choosing between 2 paths, such as whether to accept a new job or move to a new location. The word tells us to seek the counsel of mature, grounded believers to pray with us and ask for discernment. But I've learned the hard way, as have many others, to never rely on circumstances or the input of others to make the final confirmation of what you think God said. Evaluating the circumstances in your life and using your own assessment to make a decision based on that alone is no better than reading tea leaves or flipping a coin. In other words, no matter how tempting it is to be guided by obvious circumstances, don't do it. Charting a course for your life based on what's happening around you is one of Satan's best deception tools for Christians, because he can veil himself in light and never be noticed until it's too late. Number four, God usually delivers immediate instructions with authority, but not in a compulsive, frantic, random, or bargaining manner. While God still chooses to anoint some with the gift of prophecy, most of his communications with us is about everyday dependence on him. Usually he gives us just enough instruction for the next step ahead. Psalms 119:105. The Holy Spirit will lead us day by day, not reveal the long-term plan. We are to live in the present, not focused on the future. He gives us new mercies each morning, just enough for the day ahead. As we learn to listen for his voice throughout the day, what he asks us to do will become clearer over time. As we obey in the small things, he gradually gives us bigger things. On the other hand, Satan, or sometimes our own sinful desires, will throw random or frantic ideas at you in a compulsive and hyper-urgent manner. Satan loves to give you this intense feeling of pressure, like a used car salesman making you believe that if you don't act now, you'll miss out on the best deal of your life. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." What an excellent verse for testing everything you hear. Number five, he speaks to bring conviction and freedom, not guilt. Learning the difference between the conviction of sin versus guilt and shame is crucial to distinguish God's voice from the enemy's. The Holy Spirit will search your heart, especially in prayer or in a moment immediately following a sinful act, and he will urge you towards repentance. He will push you to ask for forgiveness. Guilt, on the other hand, is a feeling of condemnation, worthlessness, hopelessness, shame, or a sense that you cannot or shouldn't be forgiven. Think of conviction as a revelation that you've done wrong with a clear desire to repent and then move forward in freedom. Guilt is a foreboding, heavy feeling that keeps you from forgetting your sin and past mistakes. Guilt will literally rob you of being effective for Jesus, and that's precisely Satan's goal. No matter what you've done wrong, there is forgiveness in Jesus. Believe it. Ask for it. Receive the gift and move on. Any voice that makes you want to stay in the pit of guilt is coercing you into rejecting God's best for you. Romans 8:1 gives us this clear, matter-of-fact pronouncement. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Number six, he speaks to draw you closer to him and to love others more than yourself. He will never give directions that promote human effort, glory, or favoritism. In Matthew 22:36-40, Jesus was asked about the greatest commandment. He replied with, "And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So, God is never going to tell you to do anything that would tear down others or elevate yourself above others. And I'm finishing up with this scripture because it is the one you should repeat to yourself the most, especially when you sense the Holy Spirit leading you to do something in the moment, such as help that elderly lady with her groceries. According to Jesus, you have all the confirmation you need in that situation to proceed. Other times, of course, you need to wait and seek more specific confirmation. But again, remember that no message from God is too small to ignore. Even the smallest things could be the most significant in either someone else's life or even in your own spiritual growth. You may think that he's giving you junior level work to do, but he sees it as building blocks to a plan that he may take decades to unfold in your life. Trust him, listen to him, walk and learn with humility and a teachable spirit, according to Proverbs 15:31-33. One of my favorite authors, John Piper, said God speaks to everyone, not just those who believe. He said, quote, "Oh, unbeliever, God is speaking to you in your pain to warn you, and God is speaking to you in your pleasure to woo you," unquote. But for those who believe, the sacrifice of Jesus turns our pain and suffering into instruments of sanctification, which simply means the process of becoming more holy, more like Jesus, little by little. As for our moments of pleasure with Jesus, they become reminders to praise him and faint glimmers of eternal joy that await us one day. In either case, suffering or happiness, the Holy Spirit enables us to live supernaturally by displaying characteristics that could only be from God: humility, joy, gratitude, contentment, and hope in all circumstances. Living in this manner is one of the greatest ways we can speak to others about God. When we become vessels, albeit imperfect ones, that show glimpses of Jesus in everything we do, God speaks through us to a world that so desperately needs to hear Him. And what better way to live than to not only hear His voice, but also become a conduit for His voice to a desperate and dying world around us. As you listen to this episode today, you may be wondering how long it will take to master the practice of hearing God's voice. You may feel as though you are at the base of a mountain staring up at a long, arduous climb filled with side trails and distractions. Or perhaps your heart is aching for the refreshment of His voice, which you've heard before, but now it's been a long, long time and you wonder if you'll ever hear Him again. Wherever you're at today, please know that the amount of time it will take is irrelevant as long as you're moving forward on the journey. Time matters to us only because we're impatient to hear His voice in something that feels urgent. That doesn't mean it is actually urgent. When we're striving for God's best and willing to let Him lead us one step at a time versus knowing His plan all at once, then we grow more and more comfortable with letting go of our discomfort with time passing. Our reality and day-to-day living is largely time-driven, but God moves freely outside of the boundaries of time, so any moments we spend alone with Him, getting to know Him better, yields eternal results. So don't worry about how long it will take, my friend, if you're striving to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Every moment is transformed into a timeless miracle with eternal significance. If God is prodding you to go deeper in this topic, I encourage you to visit the blog post for this episode. The link is included in the description for this message. There you'll find a free 5-day devotional guide with scripture meditations and thought-provoking questions. I've also included links to two of my favorite books on learning to hear God clearly. And if you have a book suggestion or want to share feedback about your journey to hearing God's voice, please post your comments to the blog or on my social media pages. I would love to hear from you and have you as a follower and, most importantly, a regular podcast subscriber. Finally, I encourage you to share this message with someone who might need to hear it. If someone's name popped into your mind while you were listening, then that's probably the Holy Spirit guiding you. Satan certainly wouldn't prompt you to share this message with someone else. So please don't let another moment pass by without obeying that nudge from God.